from the book of Isaiah, over in the fourth chapter. And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Now, the thought here is, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. I want to turn over to the book of Revelation. The fourth chapter of Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. All right, in the 11th chapter, the 15th verse. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. After this, if you notice, it said in the 19th verse that the testament was open in heaven. Then the 12th chapter, in the 10th verse, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I want to talk with you just a little bit tonight, take my time if I can. Now, I don't know what I'll say. I don't ever know just what I'll say when I come up here. I just come up here to say whatever I feel that he would put on my heart to say. I try to just say whatever I feel. Which reminds me again of a statement that was in the paper, I believe, today. Yesterday brought me a clipping of what Pat said concerning the two presidents. He said he didn't believe Ford or Carter had any salvation. I don't know where he said that, because he's a Ronald Reagan's fan or not, but I do know that they're special friends, and I guess it was his feelings toward Ronald, but he said he didn't believe either one of them was Christians. And his statement was that you can tell a Christian by the fruits, and he didn't feel like they had any fruits. But it's pretty strong talk. But anyway, you know, I don't ever know what I'm going to say when I come up here. I try to say whatever God puts on my heart and whatever I feel. I try to be original in what I do. I don't try to copy anybody in the sound of my voice and the way I talk or in what I preach or how I preach it. I try to go to God and find out from God what he wants and what he'd have me to say and say it to the best of my ability in originality, the way that he would want me to say it. Now, I know when you're preaching, a lot of times you might sound like anybody preaching. People's voices change and different atmospheres, you know, at different times. But I like to be original in what I say and what I do. I like to hear people when they sing. I love to see them sing out of originality. I don't like to see them copy anybody, you know, because that lets in the wrong spirit and it kills the anointing and it brings in the fleshly thing. So I like to have the anointing. I like to go to God and I love to pray and I love to ask God to anoint my heart and anoint my life and come down and really trust in Him, really believe that He's going to speak. You know, we can study and we can learn a lot of things and get a lot of things in our mind, a lot of things in our head, you know, and we come and we preach that. And that's all right, you come and tell the people what you've got, you know, while you're studying and while you're praying, that kind of thing, that's good because that come from the anointing. You know, you get away and you get that from the anointing. But brothers and sisters, that's still not the anointing talking from the pulpit. You're only relating what the anointing has said to you. But I love to go to God in real simplicity and real sincerity, not have anything prepared to read or prepared to preach on or anything else, and just go into the pulpit having talked with God and ask God to come down in my life and in my heart and have God Himself to begin to tell me or to speak to the people the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. That's the anointing. That's God Himself making things known to us fresh from heaven. That's the way I like to understand it. Now I come here and I talk with you. That's why that I'm not a showman. I'm just not a showman. I started off years ago and could have gotten that world and things was going favorable for me. And I saw that that was wrong and that wasn't the thing that was right. And I turned to God, and when I turned to God, I left showmanship alone. The other night over in Olive Branch, they had somebody over there that was full of showmanship that hindered me through the whole meeting. It was a spirit of showmanship, and it really bothered me. And I love to just be what I am. Whatever I am, Paul said, I am by the grace of God. So Paul said, we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I might holler at you, scream at you. If I say something sweet and loving to you, it's because I mean it. If I say something sharp and cutting to you, it's because I mean it. Amen. I'm not just putting on or making believe. It's because I mean it. When I told those people the other night that they were in trouble with God, I told them because I meant it, because I had talked to God, understood what God was doing and what the Lord wanted me to tell them, and I meant what I told them because it is true. And so then when I come here and talk to you, I don't try to coo or come up here and, you know, temper my voice and come in with a cooing and a wooing and like some of these singers, you know, they like Elvis Presley, you know, they coo at you, you know, and that kind of thing. And preachers do the same thing. And they never get into the originality, never talk in their own voice. They got some kind of hypocritical form or some kind of something that they might soothe everything over because they're afraid if they don't say it just right, you know, it won't take good. And somebody will bounce back at them. It'll interfere with what they're trying to do. But I'm just what I am, and that by the grace of God. And I like to preach to you and teach you and tell you what I understand, because I believe in my heart that we're going to have to stand before God. I believe every person will stand before God to give an account to God for what they have done in their bodies. Their spirit lives inside of their bodies. And their body is nothing more than a little old house of clay. And that spirit lives or dwells on the inside of it. And that spirit someday is going to give an account to God, the eternal spirit of life, for every deed that it ever done while it lived inside of this human temple. It's going to give an account to God for every thought that it ever thought while it was in this temple. And David goes farther than that. He said, Father, forgive me for the thoughts of my heart and the intents of my heart. So then our thoughts ought to be right toward God and toward our fellow man. The intents of our heart ought to be right toward God and toward our fellow man. Now, so inasmuch as that is the way it is, and I love to, you know, I love to tell the truth. One day I'm going to stand there before God, and I'm going to stand there with you before God. All these women that I told they ought to wear the long dresses, and I believe they ought to wear them. Someday I'll stand before God with you, and you'll stand right there with your short dress on. Whatever, in that day you'll be accounted for is that in that day, because now I'll be right there. I told you, and the preachers that I told ought to tell the people to wear them. They'll be right there too, and they'll have to explain to God why that the woman didn't see fit to wear her long dress when Jesus wore his robe all the way down to his ankle. Be our example. And they'll have to explain to him the same way they try to explain to me. Now, so I'm not worried about it. If they want to accept what I say, that's all right. If they don't want to accept it, that's their business, because one day we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong. I feel this way about it. I'd rather go to the judgment of God and stand there in the judgment and be judged for telling women to cover up their neckness and wear their dresses down to their ankles than to stand there and be judged and try to explain why I felt like they ought not cover up their neckness and wear it down to their ankles. So if the other fellow wants to go through all that explaining, that's his business. But that's the way I feel about it. So if I'm wrong about it, I believe God will have more mercy on me in that I did try to tell him to cover her neckness up. I can't figure out why a man should cover his and a woman not cover hers. So then, I know that it is the custom of the people. I know that it's the custom, and I know that this old mind gets in a rut and it wants to go along with the custom of the people. But my Bible tells me that the custom of the people is vain. Choose not the way of the heathens. Amen. On this meeting, I saw some great things take place. And if I can talk with you tonight, just out of my heart, I can relate a few of them to you. If I can't talk with you, I can't tell you. But if I can talk with you, if I can get your spirits and hearts tonight, I can talk with you and tell you a few things that happened and a few things that I understood and do understand that has happened, is happening, and going to happen. And I believe that if you'll listen, be patient, love the Lord, try to understand, ask God to give you an understanding heart, that God will. You know, a lot of people need to pray to God for an understanding heart. How do you know that? Bible said, with wisdom get understanding. And Solomon prayed, God, give me an understanding heart. So it pleased God, because Solomon prayed, that God would give him an understanding heart. And I pray to God, Father, give me an understanding heart. This is my desire, to have an understanding heart. And I pray to God that he'll give me an understanding heart. This has been my prayer down through the years. And I believe in my heart that God will do exactly what I ask him to do. I believe he has done what I ask him to do. Now, most of you know that we're living in serious times. How do you understand that? Most of you know that this is a serious time that we're living in. It's an age like we have never had before in the history of the world. For over 20 years, I've been watching the moving of the Spirit and trying to understand what God was doing and what God is doing and what God has done. And God has been kind enough during those years to let me know and let me see his purpose and plan. And God has been real good to me. He's explained many things to me and I did not understand. Told me his purpose and told me when to move and when not to move and what to say and what not to say. And I've tried to be sincere and I've tried to say it the way that I felt that he would want me to say it. Many times I come with revelation in my heart. And the Lord will change it completely around, because he doesn't want the people to have revelation. At that time, maybe it's a house full of people that's rebellious and contrary, that wouldn't understand revelation if you said anything to them about revelation. And what God wants them to have is a good old spiritual chastising and a correcting to where they can shape up and get in the place to where they'll live right. Now, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swines. How many of you know that we got a whole sack full of pearls? We got pearls. We've got the pearl of great price. We've got pearls, and God said, don't cast them before swine. Your words, as words of God, and words of wisdom, and words of revelation, your words, as such, are beautiful pearls. But in the eyes of swines, they mean nothing. They mean nothing. You can throw a pearl over in a hog trough or throw it over into a hog pen. It means exactly nothing. But you can take it to a person that understands what it is and they will really place a great value on it. You can give it to a little boy that didn't know what it was. He's liable to put it in the shame shot, you know, and shoot it off. It's just something to play with as far as he's concerned.
That's the way the world is.
So then, since we're in the seerest time, that means that things are taking place everywhere. Now then, you know that Brother Taylor went off from us and stayed for a while because his dad passed away. And while he was gone, things was taking place here, and things was taking place there. His dad's death had to do with Revelation. We had spoke of his dad's decease and spoke to Brother Taylor as to what we understood it was, and it had to do with Revelation. And Brother Taylor, while he was up there at his dad's place, different things took place that he was really fascinated about, and he came and told us about it. As a matter of fact, there was something about them having his dad over on Monroe Street, was it? Over on Monroe Avenue at, what was it? Anyway, it had to do with his dad being over on Monroe Street. Charleston, Illinois, Monroe Street, that's what it was. It connected with my brother's death, Charles, you know. And then, brother, it wasn't coincidental because at the same time, Brother J.T. Parnell had set his tent up over on Charleston Street, or Monroe Street, at Charleston, Indiana. That's the way it was. And so then, at the same time, about that time down here, we had brought Brother Charles over to Monroe. And so then God was doing something and showing something typically in all of those things that was taking place. Now, I believe in the divine providence of God. I don't believe things just happen coincidentally. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, that's just coincident. But to me, that is not coincident. That is the divine providence of the living God. I believe that with all my heart. And I watch those things because all down through the years, God has spoke to the men of God and to the prophets by types, by shadows and allegories, and by different environments and situations. Always, even the stars, he spoke to some of the wise men by the stars. And it's always been that down through the years, God has spoke to the people or the prophets by different means and by different ways. And so then today, God does the very same thing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still does the same thing. Back there when Paul was preaching to the Jews, he began to talk about Abraham's wife, Sarah, having to do with New Jerusalem. Talking about Abraham's wife, Hagar, having to do with old Jerusalem. Now, can't you imagine how the Jews frowned on that? Paul got up to preach a sermon, and here they were, you know, with quotations and laws and different things and all kind of things that pertain to the denominational side of life in their day. And then Paul come along talking about a woman being a type of heavenly Jerusalem and another woman being a type of earthly Jerusalem. And well, he thought he was crazy. Somebody said, Paul, you crazy. But he wasn't crazy. And Paul said, I tell you what, said, I wish that you were spiritual. I'm not crazy, and it's not spiritual. And so it is today. See, we're not crazy. It's just that the people are not spiritual. God is speaking. God is a spirit. And God is using every means and measure to convey himself to the human intelligence. He's trying to tell us something. Why is it that people, you know, they can send their children to school and the teacher can spend all day long saying, look at here, Billy or Tommy, 2 and 2 makes 4. Nobody says that's foolish. Nobody says that's silly as far as I'm concerned. It's a bunch of junk. But nobody says that. They spend thousands of dollars standing behind it. They build great buildings that they call educational systems for all of this stuff. Why? Because they've learned that even though it is foolish to their understanding, yet it has to do with the advancement of life in means and measures of better living. And it's the same way with the things of God. It may sound foolish to you, but it has to do with the means and measures of life in God. So then, Brother Taylor, while he was over in Illinois, something took place. I'd like to relate a few things by picking up at that point and trying to relate a few things in a sequence to you, or bring a continuity of something to where it will establish itself in your thinking, and you'll be able to see something in what I'm saying. I said these four words for this purpose, that you might understand that what I'm saying is naturally foolishness to your natural understanding. The things that I say is foolishness to your understanding. It's not foolishness because I say that it's foolishness. It is foolishness because God said that the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. The things of the natural man is foolishness to God. That's right. All of your education, all of your knowledge, God says it's science, falsely so-called. He says there's nothing to it. It's just a bunch of children playing around. But God says that's foolishness. But he says that what we say as Christian people, that it is foolishness to the natural man. Because one is contrary to another. So then when we try to teach you as spiritual people, you spiritual people, rejoice in what we say, and you natural or educated people, you find it to be foolishness. You listen at it, and if it ever makes sense to you natural-minded people, if you ever get any sense out of it all, what you'll eventually do is get into it while you are illuminated by grace, and just as quick as that, you get out of the illumination, you go right back to the hog pens and right back to your old carnal mind, resentful, haughty, contrary, rebellious, the same disposition that you had before the illumination came. But real, true sons of God, they understand that what we're saying is the mind of Christ in the veil. And they know that we're speaking of something holy and something great and something mighty and something that surpasses all human reasoning, all human understanding. The Bible said this is abundantly above all education, all that we're able to ask, all that we're able to think. It's things of God that's so high that I can't think it out. I can't figure it out. I can't read it out. I can't reason it out. I have to have it revealed to my intelligence as a revelation. It is abundantly above all that I can ask, above all that I can think. I'm totally dependent upon God, that God would make it known to me as a spiritual revelation. If God doesn't make it known to me as a revelation, then I'll never get it because it's beyond my ability. The Bible said God's thoughts are higher above ours than the heavens is the earth. And revelational thoughts, they're God's thoughts. And they're way up yonder in heaven, and I can't get them except God would make them known to me. And so then God gives more grace to the humble. So I try to humble my heart. I try to be sincere. I try to ask God to be merciful to me because I can't make him do anything. I can't live in such a way as being good that God would do anything for me. I just have to trust him, hope in him, and praise him, and look to him, and expect because of the goodness of Calvary that he will shed abroad in my heart the wonderful treasures and riches of God. So then Brother Taylor, going to his dad's funeral, while he was there, they presented him with a flag. And this flag was something that had come from World War I, where Daddy had taken part, and they gave the flag to him, and you know there's Bill and there's Frank. Franklin means free man. But there's Bill and there's Frank. And we think about Bill, we think about Brother Branham, you know Billy. There's two of them that was there, and there they stood, there at the coffin they presented this to them, or from the death there. And Bill, his brother, of course, is a very natural-minded person, and Bill wanted everything natural, you know, that he could get. I don't think he was selfish from the way Frank explained it, but he just couldn't think of departing with anything, you know. You know, a natural-minded person, they want every dress, if it's a woman, they want every dress they can get. You know that? Why, they'd take the whole store and stick it in the back of the car and take it home and wouldn't even have room to lay the baby down on the bed, you know, if you give it to them. They don't. It's just something about him. It's greediness. It's covetousness. Same way with a man about money. He's natural-minded. He'll do the same way. So I don't think Bill was, you know, I think he's just being natural-minded. He's one of those natural things. And then he felt bad about it after he took the flag, so he gave Brother Taylor another flag. And the flag he gave Brother Taylor was a new flag,
And it was a great big flag, an extra large flag. And the flag had 50 stars, as far as I can tell. The flag had 50 stars on it. Brother Taylor, he brought it back all the way from up there, brought it down to little Bethlehem. When he brought it here, he gave it to us here at little Bethlehem. Now then, that flag doesn't mean anything to a natural person. What I said doesn't mean anything to a natural person. All that I said is foolishness to the natural person. They're not getting anything out of it. They'd be glad if I'd shut up with that and start preaching, you know. As far as they're concerned, I'm not preaching. And if I just leave it off and start preaching, then I'd be all right. But whether you believe it or not, that was a great, extraordinary, outstanding event that took place in Brother Taylor bringing that flag here to little Bethlehem. And those that are spiritual will understand what I'm saying. Those that are not spiritual will not understand what I'm saying. You understand? Must not have very many spirituals. All right, so then the flag came back to little Bethlehem. When it came back with it, Brother Taylor was sitting there and expressing a few things to me concerning his dad. Some of the things that had taken place, and while he was there, he took the flag out. He said, Brother Pike said, here's a flag that was given to me. He said, I want to give it to you. Brother Frank Beretta was there and Brother Ralph was there. And each one of those people, according to the mind of God, follows a different pattern. See, every person here tonight, whether you believe it or not, you have a specific order of the Spirit. Every star different in glory. How do you know that? And every star that's in glory is a type of a human being. Even the old folks used to say when a star falls from heaven, that means somebody died. Somebody would say, well, I think that's foolish. I don't believe in what the old folks say anyway, Brother Pye. And I know there's nothing to it. But strangely enough, when a certain star came up in heaven, the wise men knew it represented a person. Is that right? So the old folks must have knew a whole lot more about stars than we think they do. Another writer said over there, he spoke of some people in the earth, and he said, these are wandering stars. Is that right? He also made reference to the stars, and he called some people in the earth wandering stars. Now, I'm persuaded to believe that if there are some wandering stars in the earth, there must be some stars in the earth that are not wandering stars. Hallelujah. Like the other day when we was passing down through Nashville, Tennessee, it said, come on in, take a look, the home of the stars. Well, that's pretty good because that's all they know. The only thing is they don't know they're fallen stars, do they? But if it come over to little Bethlehem, it could take a look at the stars. Somebody would say, what makes you think that, Brother Pike? Because I saw a vision where all of them gathered to one side of heaven, and it was my side of heaven to gather to. Hallelujah. So then, I saw a great thing. As Brother Taylor brought that back, it was a great thing that I saw in it. Here sat Brother Beretta, and here sat Brother Ralph Malloy, and both of them representing a different thing, their life representing a different perspective in the mind of God, and God having been kind enough to me to let me know what their lives represented. I watched, and Brother Beretta in his blue jeans and Brother Ralph in his white pants where he had been painting, both of them picked up the flag together, walked out to the flagpole and hoisted the flag or raised it up. There I watched the white and the blue together. I saw the spiritual Jew and the natural Jew together. And on this flag, we had been flying the old six-pointed star of David. How do you know that? It was given to us on Easter morning here. How do you remember that? On the little track called The Faith. And it has to do with that little track if you listen real close in what I'm about to say. I watched them as they went out to the flagpole and they raised the flag up, an extra large flag. And the Lord said to me, he said, the spiritual Jew and the natural Jew. He began to speak to me, and I looked as I beheld it, and I saw the thing that was taking place. And I said, Lord, but the six-pointed star of David. I said, what does this mean? And the Lord said to me, the six-pointed star of David, that has to do with the man. And said, and this flag is America's flag, which has to do with the woman. See, how do you know that Jesus had to do with the woman and Christ had to do with the man? That's right. Now, in the natural, it's just exactly the reverse. But it had to do with the woman, for the stripes was upon his back. Is that right? And they put the stripes upon Jesus' back. Somebody would say, well, that's the man. No, that was the woman. You understand what I'm saying? If you look close, you'll see something. If you be spiritual, you'll see something. If you're not spiritual, you won't see a thing. The Bible said, let the church, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. As I talk, as I preach, the Spirit will be saying something unto the church. Like Brother Branham used to say, you have to read between the lines to be able to tell what's going on. And so then here is Jesus, the stripes upon his back. The stripes laid upon the back of Jesus, whereas he appears to be the male, but yet the man, which is the flesh in this world, is the woman, and the spirit is the male. How do you know that's right? Alright, now, so then the stripes was upon Jesus' back. Isn't that right? So then when we refer to the woman, which is America, we refer to her as the stars and the stripes. Come on, folks. You understand what I'm saying? That man back there at Calvary, when he hung there on the cross, what was that back there? That was that woman that was between the third heaven and the first heaven, hanging between heaven and earth, the second heaven, with a foot on the moon. A lot of times when I preach that about America, people think I'm crazy. And I don't understand what I'm saying, but I want you to see the tie. Here was the stripes upon Jesus' back. Is that right? And what was the crown of Jesus' head? The thorns upon his head. Isn't that right? Ever notice a thorn is like a little jackstone or a star? See, it represented the crown of stars, which was the 12 apostolic leaders, which preaches the word of life. So Jesus had the message all in one. And he divided it up within 12 apostolic leaders. Is that right? Like Brother Branham. We could bring out a lot here tonight, but we won't have time to go into all of that. But I want to clarify something here. So then Jesus was hanging there on the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, as we would say. When John saw the revelation of Calvary, he said, I saw a woman. Said, behold, I saw a wonder in heaven. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Jesus wasn't in heaven. Well, then if he wasn't in heaven, he didn't tell us the truth, then did he? Is that right? I said if he wasn't in heaven, then he didn't tell us the truth about it. For he said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven? And he said the woman was in heaven. Is that right? In the second dimensional projecting, because at that time he was in the second heaven, which was still in the human body. You follow me? All right, now, hanging there between heaven and earth, there was suspended between heaven and earth, the second heaven. And the Bible said, John said, when he saw Calvary, he got the revelation. When he looked there, he said, I saw this woman between heaven and earth, and I saw her feet upon the moon. There it was, see, the feet upon the moon, and the stripes upon the back, and the stars upon the head. Somebody said, who is that? That's all glory, the stars and the stripes. Is that right? The woman who set her feet on the moon. God doesn't make mistakes. He knew what he was doing back there. He knew what he was doing when he brought the woman over here. What is America? It has to do with something over here. America has to do with heaven. Is that right? It has to do with heaven. All right, now, so we see Jesus there hanging between heaven and earth. It was the woman. That is to say, the stars and the stripes. There was something taking place. John, as he beheld this, he said this was a great mystery. And just prior to this, he had looked over here, and here come an angel. And the angel, he was also standing in heaven, had a rainbow over his head. The Bible said his feet was like pillars of fire, and his face was like, it was like the sun. I remember that. He said he came forth, he had a little book. He said when he came with a little book, said seven thunders uttered their voice. John said, I was about to write, and I heard a voice say, write them not, John. Said, seal them up and write them not. Now, what was he saying? A spirit is a seal. He was saying, John, your ears have heard them, your spirit has received them, but they are sealed up within your spirit. Seal them up, John, and write them not. So then even John's intelligence couldn't remember them because they were sealed up in his spirit. But scientists say that anything that you hear, you never forget. And so then they were sealed up. What is a seal? The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. When Jesus loosed those seven seals over there, what was it? It was seven spirits. Seven spirits that stood before the throne of God. That was the seven seals that Jesus loosed. Nobody else could loose them. All right, now, so then as we see this, the Lord saying to John, seal up the thunders, John. Seven thunders, but seal them up. Don't forget this. We think about the mystery of the seven thunders. When we think about the mystery of the seven thunders, that's where we get off track in trying to understand what God was saying and what God was trying to show us. Because, see, it's not the thunders. It wasn't the thunders, but the Bible said the voice. It was a voice. The thunders had a voice. And the voice, and the angel referred to it. He said, in the days of the voice. He spoke of it like that, that the thunders uttered their voice. Is that right? Somebody said, well, then it uttered its seven voices. It didn't say it uttered its seven voices. Did it? But it said in that day that the moon, the sun, coming into a oneness would be sevenfold in that day. But it said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mysteries of God would be finished. Now, what was that? It was obvious that what he was saying here, that if the thunders had the voice and the voice was speaking, that it was not written. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, where is it at? It is not written. Somebody would say, but wait a minute. No, wait a minute about it. It's not written. You say, how do you know that it's not written? Because God said, write it not, John. There's no need of looking in the Bible for it. You won't find it written in the Bible because it's not written there. Now, you say, well, now, wait a minute. What's this got to do with it, Brother Pye? There was one thing that God withheld. How do you know what that was? One thing that he withheld back there. What was it? He said, and no man knoweth. No, not the Son, but the Father only. Is that right? In other words, he said, John, this is sealed up in the Spirit. What these thunders have to say is the thing that's going to take the church out of here. No man knoweth, not the Son, so you can't write this. If you write it, the Son's going to know it. Is that right? So then he said, but it in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, then it shall be made known. You say, why does it say it'll be made known? How can you prove that, Brother Pike? Because it said it's not written. If it's not written, that means nobody ever got it in seminary. That means nobody's ever preached it. Because it said the voice of the seventh angel would bring it. And it was to be a mystery that would be made known to the church and rapture the church. So then, in the days of the voice, the mystery was to be finished. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? All right, let's look at this a little further now. Here is the flag. Brother Taylor brought it back. What is the significance of that? Here, that flag went up at Little Bethlehem. Now, I hope you be spiritual now. It went up at Little Bethlehem. Why did it go up? We've been flying a six-pointed star flag here. Why did all of a sudden we get the one that's called the Old Glory? How do you know that back yonder, when they took the flag off of the earth, they took it up to the moon? How do you know that? Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pine? Said, Icky Bob was rode over the door. The Ark of the Covenant has departed from Israel. Is that right? And so then, Eli died. The others died. They passed away. Samuel the seer came in. Is that right? Like he said concerning his well here, name it Mizpah, where Samuel judged Israel. Is that right? See, the glory of God departed because the darkness had come. The light had gone out in the temple. The Bible says the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. All had given out of the summons vessel and the light had gone out. Rise, trim your lamps, light them up, get ready. Check the oil, is that right? So then, the glory of God departed. See, the glory of God, what is the glory of God? Hallelujah. Amen. I believe Brother James sees what I'm talking about. What is the glory of God? If it's the stars and stripes, it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by the Protestant age. It went out. The man child being caught up, the many-membered child, caught up to the throne, raptured up. The stars and stripes upon his back, bearing the stripes, the body raptured up. When it was raptured up, that the glory was gone. Somebody said, what do you mean the glory was gone? Because the glory of God was Calvary. The stars and stripes upon his back, the preaching of the gospel. Isn't that right? From glory to glory, to revelation, from part to part. In other words, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church being raptured up. The man child being caught up, the glory gone. Hallelujah. The woman standing on the moon. Hallelujah, see what I'm saying? And the man child caught up to the third heaven. Going right on up into third heaven. Something was taking place. Now then, in that the glory had departed. The glory was gone. Why was the glory gone? Because the Bible said Jesus was made heir over or to the glory of God. He's the only one that has control of the glory of God. If we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've got the glory of God. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, God doesn't give anybody's glory. But you know how I feel about that, don't you? God said over there in his word, Jesus spoke, said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Hallelujah! He gives us his glory! Praise God, he gives us his glory. He doesn't give it to another, but we are not another. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Translated from glory to glory. Into the wonderful image of the Son of the living God. The Shekinah glory of God. So when the church is raptured up, what happens? Then the glory is departed because the stars and the stripes is gone. Calvary's gone. And Calvary's what brought grace. And grace is the glory. How do you know a woman's hair is a glory? And if she cut it off, there is no glory in that, right? That's why the women started chopping their hair off like they did. Because the glory of God had departed from the church. See, the woman is a church. When she cut her hair off, it signified the glory, the authority, the power of her husband. Her head was gone. It wasn't upon the church anymore. Isn't that right? But I'm glad of one thing. Though them seven locks was cut off, they put Samson down there in the dungeon. One day they started growing again. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's got a little body called the body of Christ that's willing to let the locks go. Hallelujah. God willing to rebuke the woman. He said, the glory has gone from the woman. Isn't that right? But said, look at the man. Samson's hair and locks is growing back. You know what it is? It's the authority changing from the Western world. Going back to the Jew. The long hair on the man symbolizes his strength. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said it's a shame. That's true, no such custom in the church, but in the world, and the Jews in the world, have you know that? It represented their strength back there. And so then it means the Western world is over. It means the woman's just cut hers off. See, God has cut America off. The glory is departed. It's gone from you. Where's it gone? It's gone with the man child back to Israel. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? I said Ronald Reagan's will lose out to Jimmy Carter. Is that right? Did he do it? He's already out of the race. I said he'll have to lose out. Why? He will have to lose out because he represents the woman perspective. That's why that we met Pat Boone like we did over there. In there where the diamonds was, having to do with a little glass slipper. That's what he wound up with. How do you know what I'm trying to say here? I just wish we had plenty of time to go into it. See, Pat Boone's running with Ronald Reagan's. But he goes back to the woman. There is something that's taking place that only they that have an ear can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's a glorious thing, a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, Brother Taylor brought the flag back. Up went the flag. What was it? At last, the woman had been made one with the male. You understand? You can't tell a woman from a man anymore. That's right. Walk down the street's hard to do. Me and my wife's fussed, you know, kind of fussy with each other. I say, it's a man. She's a woman. It's a woman. It's a man. Can't tell which one it is. Going down the road, you don't know. So you don't know which one it is anymore. Somebody might run up the side of a car, you know, think they're going to take advantage of a woman, and here jumps out a muscle fella. with long hair. He punches him in the nose. You can't ever tell who it is anymore. So what is it? It means that the man and the woman is coming together. They are becoming one. See, that which was taken out of Adam, the feminine part, is going back into Adam, and the man is becoming feminine. Now, I know that's wrong in the natural, you know, but in the spiritual, it's just right. Amen. Father, make these one as we're one. The man and his wife, one. So the power and authority, the glory that went out of the man, which was on the woman's shoulder, went out there. God's taking it back. Now it's on the man's shoulder. Have you noticed that? So then Samson's lock is growing back. The seven church ages restored. Let seven times pass over and pick it up. Is that right? You notice when old Samson pulled them pillars down, the same amount of people that was killed when the pillars were pulled down was the same amount of people that come up in Pentecost. Count them and see. Same amount at the resurrection. So then it indicates that something is taking place that the church needs to hear. Now look at it in a present day truth, for instance. Here we hoisted the flag, the six pointed star flag, this being little Bethlehem, this having to do with the millennium. What was it? The glory of the woman departed from over there. The death of his dad had to do with it in Illinois up there. His dad named John. Just watch what happens a little later on with the name John. His dad named John, the glory departing. Bill took the old, the World War I. But the 50 flags, the Jubilee, the Pentecost, the freedom, that year of forgiveness, Brother Taylor Franklin, the free man, took it. You see that? What has that got to do with Franklin Delano Roosevelt? So then when he came back, he gave it, and there went the woman up the flag, and there it was, up the pole. There were both together, the man and the woman together. Here, all glory has done come back to the Jerusalem. Back a little Bethlehem, hallelujah, where it started from. So then God has ordained that this place be a typical thing. All right, here we went. Now look at it. There was the flag. What was the flag? Introducing the Nina, Peter, and Santa Maria. Amen. So that was the flag. So here we go. Where was we going? To have a meeting in the middle of the week. But where was we going to? We was going to Columbus. Why to Columbus? Because he was the one that brought the flag about. He brought the new world in. You follow me? The new earth coming in. And so then there we were headed for Columbus. Going down to Columbus, another John involved, Brother John Lane. Going down to Columbus, on the way down, we got rerouted. Betty and I usually go another way. And I said, Betty, as sure as I live, God is sending us to Warm Springs, Georgia. And I said, that's where he's sending us. Sure enough, here we wound up right in Warm Springs. Somebody was saying, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with it? There's a pool in Warm Springs that stays 88 degrees the year round. Is that right? The year round. Now, I want you to see this. What is there down in there? There is the little White House. You understand what I'm saying? The little White House. What has that got to do with it? I said God would move the government from Washington to Georgia. How did he do it? Through Franklin the free man. Delano Roosevelt did it. That had to do with David. God had it moved down here long before he ever showed me he was going to move it. The man being a governor of New York, having to do with the New England states, the new world coming in, why did he come down there to start with? It had to do with the redemption of the body. The palace is hidden. The crippling things like sin. But they stated down there that it restored his youth. Said even before he died, his youth came back to him. All of his face just lit up with a youthful radiance. Just before he went away, and he stated that he had found his life and help by going to that pool down there. And so they set up something down there, a foundation for people that was crippled. And a man by the name of Uncle Ben with an old stagecoach they still got there used to intercept the train coming down from Atlanta, Georgia, over to Columbus. Pick up the cripples, take them over there, Ben like Benjamin, pick them up, take them over there, and put them, what, in the pool of Bethesda. The angel come down and trouble the waters. How many understand what I'm saying? See, God ordained that as a type, the redemption of the body. I thought about it as we walked through there. I'd never been to that place before in all of my years. And as we walked through there, I noticed that when they dedicated, the ones they had there was Joseph Daniel. And there they both was with me, right, as we walked through. Had them both right there too with me, Joseph and Daniel. And that was the ones that was there when it was dedicated. I noticed this as I pulled up to the little White House. Something extraordinary took place. God said to me, he said, now this is the coming together of the body and the spirit. For years it's been a natural government. But now the government is over. How do you know that I said it would collapse after this meeting? After the meeting, after the camp meeting, I said your government would collapse. Isn't that right? I said they'll go on trying to paddle a boat, but there'll be a hole in it. Now a lot of people say, well, where's it at? I don't see it. But I just heard today that they've learned that Senator Hayes, is that right? The one that's over the Congress, the one that handled all the finance, that he had him a little mistress that he paid, what was it, $14,000 a year just to be his mistress. Got tangled up with another woman, and the little mistress got upset and spilt the beans, as the world said. So she just told the whole thing about Congress, how that they had affairs together. When he checked, there was 140 some women involved in it. Run right on down to the jurisdictional part of it. You understand what I'm saying? Finally, Hayes made a confession and confessed. Also, they found out, understand, that our dollar's gone down to 17 cents in its value. Ready to change over to a card system. In other words, everything is collapsing. Everything is going down. Everything is corrupt. Why? Because God moved the White House over to Georgia and brought the president up. It has to do with the restoration of the Jews. I know that you're not spiritual. You can't see that. You think I'm off at my head, but Paul said I'm not beside myself. I know exactly what I'm saying. So when we pulled up in a Lincoln, a golden Lincoln. The Lord spoke to my heart like this. The president drives a Lincoln. Well, it's true. They made me president of the corporation here. I pulled up and I was kidding my wife. I said, uh-huh, that makes you the first lady. So she stepped out with a long dress on, and it fit real good down there because Roosevelt had went down there to go back and ask for the old pads to walk therein. See, God knew that that government was over with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and God moved it away from that corruption in the White House and brought it down to Georgia. Hallelujah. Because Georgia was where they had the king had the prisoners in and they loosed them in prison. Is that right? The acceptable year of God to preach the day of the Lord and to loose them that's in prison. Is that right? To preach a jubilee year to let the prisoners go free. How do you understand what I'm saying? That crippled body come back to life. Them little crippled prisoners begin to come out of their bondage. Now, somebody said, well, the little White House is a showpiece. It's more than that. They stated that the little 3940 had down there, you go possum hunting in it, or go out through the woods and run around and hide and play tag with these international fellas, you know, the Secret Service men, that try to follow in their big limousines and they couldn't get back through there and he'd laugh at them. Now, while he was doing this, God was doing something. He turned everything to the old. Everything he had is old, just old-fashioned. He wanted to go back to the old-fashioned way. You understand what I'm saying? I stepped out of the Lincoln. When I stepped out of the Lincoln, I walked up to the curve, and here come a car by from Texas. And I looked at it, and something said to me, so that's where Kennedy was killed, in Texas. I thought, what's that got to do with it? But how many of you know that Kennedy run on the same orders or platform that Roosevelt did? Same thing, how do you know that? I had to do with David and Solomon, the Protestant and the Catholic Church, that great cathedral coming down out of heaven. There it was, God had moved it before the corruption set in. Somebody said, well, just a little showpiece for the pipe. But it wasn't a showpiece. It was there in Washington, according to their statements, that some of the greatest policies that was ever passed was passed in the little White House in Georgia. It really did become the place of political power. And the strange part about having to do with the redemption body, which was the redeeming of the outer courts, it was there at that place that Franklin Delano Roosevelt came up with the idea of how to bring agriculture out. He got a farming plan. He got a cattle raising plan. And he proved to them in a great way how that it could come back and restored everything and brought it out of a wilderness from that, the days of Hula, and restored it and turned it into a millennium, into a garden. Isn't that right? How many of us too? And he passed the bill concerning rural lighting and took in the outer courts and the people back in that day just in the city could have light. But then it went into the outer courts. You understand what I'm saying? I mean that what's taking place now has to do with the redemption of the body. It had to do with the Jewish government. God moved it from Washington over yonder. Because he knew at that time that he got ready to redeem the body, he's going to bring Jimmy Carter up in power. So he put the White House down here where it could be nearby. I noticed also a picture. This picture was of Kennedy, where he went down there campaigning just before they took him into office. He was standing there admiring things. Now, when I got out of this car, I walked over and coming by, I saw a car with a Texas tag on it. Then the Lord quickened it to me how that Brother Taylor and I was out in over in Texas when Kennedy was killed. At the same time, my brother Charles went out. The death, the burial, the resurrection with Charles coming in. Our minister was signified as death when it hit, signified as life when it come in. Three things. Me, Brother Branham, and death. How do Brother Branham? Brother Charles had to do with Kennedy. Over here, it had to do with Charles, had to do with Jimmy Carter, they say it's a Kennedy man, and had to do with me over here. Same thing, the resurrection. That's why when I talked to Brother Branham about Charles, that the thing happened the way it happened concerning the handkerchief. All right, you got a few more minutes to listen. All right, I got out of the car. I walked over, and here the car went by with the Texas tag on it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, Kennedy, going out in 63, now's the time to pick it up, Jimmy Carter. How do you understand what I'm saying? I said, God, this is a pickup. And I turned around and looked to my left, and it said, the pickup area. So I crossed the road, went across the road, walked into the concession part of it, and the Lord spoke to me about a black woman standing there that God was dealing with a heart. My wife walked over not knowing anything about it. I felt we should give her a track on the faith now, going back to the flag, the six star, and so forth, and Washington, so forth. When I was in Washington up yonder, God took me to the White House and let me know that was over, that it was just a showpiece up there. And he never did let me put a track on the faith in there. And I couldn't understand it. I put it everywhere, even at the security guard. But he never would let me lay one down the White House. And when I got down there, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, the reason I didn't let you put that track in the White House because it has to do with the faith of the fathers, and the faith of the fathers is departed from that place. It's not up there, but you'll put it in the little White House where the faith of the fathers is. How many know the Jewish apostolic fathers? Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lies will come, lest the earth be smitten with a curse. So then I went in there. When we got in this concession place, this black woman took the track as Betty handed to her, and she just had a fit. She said, I know that you was that lady. I know that you was that lady. That's all she ever said. You say, what lady? The first lady. Hey, man, I'd like to thank that anyway. Now, really, see, I just said that to her, and the woman didn't know nothing about it. She was a total stranger. She never said anything else. She said, I knowed you was that lady. I knowed you was that lady. So then we went on into the place. Little boy got lost over from Paris. The significance there, we restored him back in the White House and so forth. And we passed out the tracts to some of the elderly gentlemen that were in there, the faith of the fathers. All right, then we come out of there. But anyway, we went on down to another little place right below the little White House. Still on our way to Columbus. And when we got there, it was called Shiloh. How do you remember Brother Charlie's vision? Shiloh has come. We got there and it was Shiloh, and he said, pick your own fruits. So I said, well, we'll pick our own fruits. And I went over and the lady said, I'm sorry. I said, we don't have any fruits this year. That don't sound good, does it? I said, well, Betty, I said, tomatoes are fruits, so we'll pick tomatoes. So we got us some tomatoes. Now see, the Lord had a reason that tomatoes has to do with something. With the heart. Isn't that right? Is that right? Sometimes if people like you, you know, they might throw a tomato at you. Depends on which way they like you. All right, now, in other words, they'll give you their heart one way or another. So then, we went on down there at Shiloh. We picked some tomatoes. I said, Betty, we can eat them in the motel. So we took them on down to the motel. And when we got down a little further, my little sister Sue here, she said, Daddy, she said, here's a motel over here. We can rent this motel. And I looked at the motel, and when I did, it said the Heart of Columbus. I thought, well, that's okay. We could rent it, you know. And I thought, well, we'll rent whatever God wants us to rent. So we got on down there, and we couldn't find anything to suit us. We kept looking. All of a sudden, we found ourselves right in the Heart of Columbus. And there was the motel. Went there, and it was exactly what we needed. So we rented the Heart of Columbus. Moved in there to the Heart of Columbus. Brother Dwight, he came in with the trumpet just in time. He moved in there too. And said the dead would hear his voice. So, anyway, Brother Dwight moved in there. He had to do with Brother Harold Walker coming down. Brother Harold has to do with Gabriel and the sounding of the trumpet. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But anyway, in this motel, there we was with those tomatoes in the Heart of Columbus. Something happened concerning little Sambo, Black Sambo. You know, that means wilderness. You know, if you understand Revelation, I can't bring all of it out. But it had to do with some confusion that happened down our little cafe we went down there to, where Dale took some of them tomatoes to. Brother Harold was there with us. She wouldn't understand that, so we'll just bypass that. I tell you, mine's fuzzy when I even talk about it. But anyway, here at the Heart of Columbus, I said, Lord, what's this got to do with Jesus? I said, here we are at the Heart of Columbus. And I said, what's this got to do with Jesus? I said, you're trying to tell me that this has to do with a little Bethlehem and with the flag. I said, what is it? And the Lord said, the discovery of the new world, Columbus. I said, but what's that got to do with Jesus? He said, Christopher Columbus. And then I saw it, the Heart of Christ. Shiloh, the Heart of Christ. That's what he's trying to tell me. The new world is in the heart of Jesus. How do you know that? The kingdom's within your heart. The new world, the Heart of Columbus. And so I saw the Heart of Christ. And then the Lord began to open my heart. I began to understand what he was saying. Went on over to the tent, and God really blessed us. I scheduled it for 7 nights, according to what I understood. In the middle of the week, the middle of the 7, there at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, they took him down when he was thoroughly dead at 3 o'clock, you know. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, when her and him got through talking to me, I felt like I was thoroughly dead, so they let me go to sleep. Well, anyway, I got up the next morning. We closed the meeting out, left from there. A lot of things took place. Now, Harold came in, Harold Walker, you know, like you herald the message or the harvest herald. See, Harold follows a pattern of the angel. I just use those little things as keys, but in reality, he follows the pattern of the angel. Has to do with Gabriel. That's the reason that Brother Dwight come in there, him and Tilden, having to do with the trumpet as Harold came in. See, you don't know whether you come at the cock crowing or what, do you? That's about 3 o'clock in the morning. How do you know that? So then, Harold was there. Harold was there. And he always seemed to come around like the Annunciation at a new time. Like the angel announced the coming of Jesus, the Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So then the heart, the blood, the birth, the coming of Christ. So then we went on over to the tent. And the strange part about it, Brother Zale had gone down to the tent to turn the lights on. But the Lord wouldn't let it work out that way. And God spoke to me and said the reason that Zale couldn't get them on, Brother John didn't get them on, said because it has to do with the coming of Elijah. How do you know that? John coming in the power of Elias. John the 10th, the Baptist, you understand? And little brother James having to do with Brother Branham, the followings, they called him the man boy, or the boy man. See the man child, how do you know what I'm saying? His name being Elis, that word goes back to Elias. Coming in the power of Elias. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. But anyway, he was the one that finally got the power. That's right, he got everything lined up right. Now, I was watching some things that were taking place, and the boy man finally got us some power. He said, now has come power. I watched, and I said, God, what has Harold got to do with coming here? And Harold, I talked to him, and I found out that once a month, it was Harold's job to go to Shiloh. Once a month. Once a month, he went to Shiloh. He went there working for the power company, the Rural Lighting System, in the Redemption of the Body. Same policy, Delano Roosevelt. You understand what I'm saying? The power, the angel announcing it, the power coming. You see what I'm talking about? Coming from Shiloh. Is that right? The heart, the new world. Now has come power, now has come the kingdom of God. So then Harold come to the little tent. Then at the same time, we left to go over to Olive Branch. Now, somebody said, what a beautiful coincidence. Well, now listen to these other coincidences. We got over to Olive Branch, and all of a sudden, coincidences started happening again. When we got there, I told him, I said, this has to do with the coming of Elias, has to do with the catching up of the boy man, the man child. I said, it has to do with that, to the third heaven. The angel of 10, revelation about the head, I said, it has to do with the seven thunders, the end of the Gentile age. We'll clarify something in just a few minutes. Sure enough, when we got over there, where did we go? We went right over to the Admiral Benbow. You know the bow. You understand what I'm saying? The bow about the man's head. The Admiral Benbow. And what did we do? They put us on the third floor. Got caught up to the third heaven. So I said, what makes you think it was the catching away, Brother Pike? Because it was right there at the air base where the jets took off. Right next to it. Somebody said, what did that have to do with it? It was the thunders every few minutes. Boom. Boom. Almost shook the place. The bow, the third heaven, the catching up, and the thunders. That's a lot of coincidence together, ain't it? God just placed every little coincidence together to where it worked real good. You know, if it ain't nothing but coincidence, it sure does thrill me. I just love these coincidences. So then, I saw that and I thought it was so wonderful, the things that was taking place. So we come down the road and the Lord willing to let us know it had to do with Revelation. I looked up and saw a big sign and it said the four winds. Another coincidence. So we went out and we preached on a Sunday morning that had to do with the resurrection. The Lord sent us out to a little place called Pope, where Brother Wilson was. When we got out to the little place called Pope, you know, Pope Headship, how do you know what I'm saying? Pope Wilderness. He'd been in the Assemblies of God, the Trinity, back to the Trinitarian veil, back to the Pope denominationalism, the daughters. You understand what I'm saying? We got out there to the little place called Pope. Now, after ministering that morning, a little place up on the hill, a little red church, after ministering, we went over and had lunch with Brother Wilson. Now, Brother Wilson has to do with my early ministry. In my early travail for Christ, he's my firstborn in the type. It follows that. All right, now there he was over there. Now, how many remember that we had a camp meeting where I gave to him the 20th century prophet belt? He said God had given him a ministry of Brother Branham. Is that right? Brother Branham was in the Assemblies of God having left the Jesus name. Remember Christ leaving the Jews, going to get a bride, stayed in the Assemblies of God. But then when the time come, having pastored seven churches, after he pastored the seven churches, then he came out of the Assemblies of God. You follow me now? Going back to the beast, going back to the seven hills, going back to the church ages, a whole lot of things that I would have to break down and explain before you'd understand what I'm saying. But I want to tie some of it together. That's why I'm skipping about here. So then, I preached. Then I went home to lunch. And there are numbers of things that were said that you wouldn't understand if I told you. Some of you resent it anyway. But anyway, when I got there, he picked up a little lamp. It was a dragon standing up on the end of his tail. Had a little lamp hanging down from it. And around it, it had ladies, real Chinese ladies, dressed in the beautiful long dresses. Real ladies in the mouth of the dragon. All right, now, he said, Brother Pikes, and I felt led to give this to you. I took it, and I thank him for it. Now, that morning, Brother Wilson had on the red suit that I gave him. You follow me? See, the red dragon, the red suit. Jesus was smitten as sin, as the red dragon. You understand? As human blood, sinful, red dragon made sin. But in reality, his blood was not sinful. He only typed out the sinful blood of the first birth to death, the red dragon. But his blood was the spirit, for he said, my flesh, which is made from blood, is spirit and life. So his blood was holy in the atonement. So then the red suit had to do with two things. The casting out of the red dragon, which was the smiting of Jesus. You follow me? Had to do with that. And then had to do with the redemption of the body. Revelation 19, the vesture dipped in blood coming back on the white horse. I explained some of that down here. All right, now, he gave me the dragon. The Lord told me what to do with it. We got in the car. We started up the road. As we started up the road, I said, Sister Betty, take the little light, all of the light, with the women with the long dress, take it out of the dragon. So she took it, took all the lighting out of the dragon. That left the dragon without any light. Then, when she got the woman out of his mouth, I said, they wondered what I was doing. I said, well, have you ever heard of George and the Dragon? I was just kidding him, you know. So I said, roll your glass down. So she rolled the glass down. You know, how have you ever heard of George and the Dragon? The first thing they told us in Palestine, it shocked me when I got over there. The first thing that their God related to me was the story of George and the Dragon. It's a big thing in Palestine. All right, so then she rolled the window down. When she rolled the window down, she took the dragon, and then even little Danny began to get the revelation. Danny saw it. He said, the red dragon cast out. So his mother took the dragon. She stuck her hand over to the window, and something said to me, said, now watch where this goes to. So I was watching. Bible said, watch and pray. And she throwed it out, and when she throwed it out, the sign comes sweeping up like this. Horn Lake. Another coincidence. And something said to me, said, and the dragon went out. See, Pope, the Trinity was over. Everything finished. Coming to Jesus' name. The woman, the veil moved, coming back to Revelation 19. There it was. It went out. And where did the dragon go? Said, the beast come up out of the waters. Is that right? Horn Lake. Come up with the seven horns. Is that right? And the thing that was so fascinating about it, it said, olive branch, horn leg. You follow me? Now you say, what's that got to do with it? That's why that I preached like I did in olive branch, that the terrible judgments of God was fixing to strike. See, everything in Revelation showed that the beast was to come up out of the people, which was the waters, coming up with the seven heads, which was the horns. What was that? Do you know what we teach about the red dragon in the peanut brittle? How many of you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? How do you know what we teach about the beast and the peanut brittle? It had to do with New York. Some people are just beastly, that's all. How do you know that? How do you know that the same person that acted so beastly was to follow me into Olive Branch as soon as I left? The dragon going out into the waters and up come. Is that right? How do you know that between Mexico and the United States is a place that's called No Land? How do you know that? No man's land. You understand? Between, all the between Palestine and down there between Egypt, there's another strip. It's called no man's land. No land. You understand? That's always the middle wall of partition where the devil dwells. Always. It's always the lukewarm spot in between that never goes one way or another. It's just brittle, that's all. And it will crumble. And I preached a sermon some of you are acquainted with, and I really preached against the church people turning the church into a peanut brittle factory. Some of them didn't like it too good, but that's what I preached against. All right, now, so then I reminded them that God's operation is an operation of faith. So then when we left, this individual was to come in. That means that there was a tribulation period of sorrow. For what was it? They said, make an image to the beast. Is that right? The red dragon crying, make an image to the beast. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, let everybody sell peanut brittle and forget about faith. I mean, it's the attitude. But God ain't looking for peanut brittle. God's looking for faith. God, peanut brittle doesn't manifest God. Faith manifests God. I've said this before. It's all right to sell candy. It's all right to sell popcorn. It's all right to carpet. It's all right to paint. Do anything you want to outside and make your money and share with the church. But it is abomination in the sight of God to turn the church into a peanut brittle factory or into a carpenter shop or into a paint shop. Now, so then I preached against it. Now, what does this have to do with? I want you to see this. If these trips that we took had to do with the closing of the church age, it would be just right. Because I said the government would collapse with this meeting that we just had. Brother Leon Wilson took the 20th century prophet Baal. Is that right? That was Brother Branham coming out of the Trinities, the bride. You see what I mean? But there's 3 years in between the maturity of the man and the woman. How do you know that? And I preached that here a long time ago, and I said, the day has come now when they're equal, and you know that they changed the law right after that and made it so with the man and the woman. Is that right? Just like we spoke about hooving the law going out and the death sentence going out. The death was conquered with the chair going out to give us the type. Is that right? All right, now. And of course, when the tribulation comes back in, they start killing people again, the beast, but not God. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, so then Brother Wilson took that belt, but in the next meeting, which had to do with the new, that was the last meeting, I kept saying over and over, I said, I feel led to preach. I feel led to preach. I promised myself I wasn't going to preach. I was going to let somebody else preach. But this meeting, the last meeting, I said, will have to do with Brother Branham's followers turning to the Lord and turning to this message here, which had to do with Brother James Ellis, Elias Cumming, the boy man, the body of redemption. Is that right? Because they have to do with the body of redemption. That's where this thing is centering around. How do you understand what I'm saying? And so then they gave me another belt called the Capstone Messenger, which had to do with the new, the body and the spirit. You see what I'm talking about? This has to do with the spirit, where that one of 20th century prophet had to do with the body, which was the woman, the bride. Is that right? But this has to do with sonship. And so then coming out of the Trinities, the veil was rent in twain because Brother Leon really rent it before he got out of there. The church ages of 7 churches he had pastored passed through the Trinity veil from the time of Pentecost on over to the new. You understand? Then the veil is rent, the opening of the matrix, the child is born, caught up into the third heaven. What is the third heaven? Now, the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jimmy Carter, having to do with the man-child, all of them throwing their crowns down at Jimmy's feet. Now, are you listening? All right, now, the woman with her feet on the moon, everything just exactly right. The tribulation coming in the type, you could see in what we said about Horn Lake. If that is true, then when Brother Wilson come out of the Assemblies of God, it officially meant that Brother Branham come in the last church age, and the last church age was officially closed out. That it closed out the church ages. As the last messenger to the church age, he closed out the church age. Is that right? Does that agree with what he said? He said, I predict by 77 the millennium will be here. How do you understand what I'm saying? What does it have to do with? I said in 63 they're going to miss it because it's going to be the spiritual rapture. It took place exactly in the appearing of Christ. They missed it and some of them's nerves almost broke down. I said in 77 they're still going to miss it because God is a spirit and God is dealing with the Gentiles and he always deals as a spirit. And that what it will be the millennium government coming in. That God will set up his government in the hearts of the sons of God. That's the new world, Christopher. Set it up in the heart that God or Christ will suddenly appear within his temple. And the man of perdition be cast out of the temple. Appear within the temple to be glorified in his saints. The church age is being over. The church age is being over. How do you understand what I'm saying? That's what these meetings had to do with. The closing out, the tribulation coming in. The church age is being over. It's like Brother Branham predicted. God speaking to the prophet hit it right on the button. But he said it'll pass right through you and you'll never see it, Brother Branham said. God speaking a spiritual thing again. What was it? The church age is closed out, just like he said. Then you say, what is this? Then has come the kingdom. Then has come power. Then came the declaration that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. You say, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pye? Because when we predicted Brother Branham's death in the early part of 65, and it came to pass in the latter part when the angel of God appeared to us, what was it? It was at that time that we set up this word, a charter. And what was the proclamation? What was the declaration? It had to do with this camp meeting about 10 years ago. Had to do with this camp meeting way over here. Where was the proclamation? I read it to you here. The branch of the Lord shall be beautiful, going back to Olive Branch. See, he walked along Bethany, the ascension, the Mount of Olives. Is that right? They even said they took a picture of us over there where it had to do with the ascension. And while we were standing there, said having to do with the ascension, they took a picture and said in the picture that I was faded out. There wasn't nothing but a misty cloud. And Brother Taylor was standing there with a book in his hand. Why was it? It had some more of that coincidence. It was Revelation 10. I just had been given by Brother Bill Cartridge a Bible, his name being the little book. He was standing there with his daddy's shoes called John, and he took the little book, and the rest of it got misty. It was an angel. See, it was the Spirit, God showing the spiritual type, the revelation, the land and the sea. Somebody said, well, where was the water? 1 foot in the Spirit, 1 foot in the natural. How do you understand what I'm saying? Brother Delmer had just had the dream not too long ago where I was standing with 1 foot on the water and one on the sea. It was a misty thing. You understand what I mean? Like a cloud. So he stood there and they said the little book was there and Brother Taylor was there, but I was almost completely faded out. Just enough to make it an image. Now, you say, what's that got to do with it? It means that Brother Branham hit it right on the button. See, 77 bringing in the kingdom, bringing in the millennium. That's what little Bethlehem has to do with. Not that little Bethlehem is the millennium, but it's a type of God's millennium in the earth. Not that Jimmy Carter is the president, but that Jesus is. See, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt coming together, it's no more. It's no more, and I can't bring this out tonight, but I'll bring it out in another message if I can. It's no more Judah and Israel. But when we bring it out, we'll show you where Judah and Israel becomes all one in the little White House. We bring it out sometimes. But anyway, what I'm saying, I'm going to come to a close in just a few minutes now. But what I'm saying is this, brothers and sisters, that the message that came at Pentecost the Spirit was poured out, it had to go through the dark age and then come back in the Protestant age to set up the type of the millennium. It was picked up in Egypt, it had to go through the Commonwealth in the wilderness and then set up in Canaan. Come on now, listen. That means that before the tribulation period, that somebody before the tribulation period had to stand and make a declaration that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of God. How can a man do that? He can't do it. It's got to be an angel. You don't understand what I'm saying? The Bible said, in heaven we are as the angels. Be careful how you entertain strangers, some entertain angels unaware. See, not to know a man after the flesh, but to know him after the angel. For angels are spirits. How do you believe you're quickening spirits tonight? He is born of the Spirit of Spirit. How do you believe I'm born of the Spirit? So then it means somebody that's got to be able to see it before they can declare it. Like in the vision, I said, you see them things taking place in heaven? You understand what I'm saying? Standing between heaven and earth. Now, you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pye? I'm saying that Brother Branham came right down the line with it. The kingdom message, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just like Charlie's visions, he said he saw a vision, and in the vision it was a great supper, and it was waiting for one man to say amen, and it was going to start the supper. And he said, Brother Pike, that was you. Now, I'm saying this, that the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. When the message of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for witness, then shall the end come. Is that right? Brother Branham, but about 77, I predict that it'll be wound up because the calendar said 33 to 37, and that was it. And what did the angel say? Time shall be no more. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that if the church ages is over, then that means that there's a tribulation period. That means the government will collapse because the government is upon his shoulders. And little Bethlehem in the city of seven governors here, having to do with what has taken place, the little stone, it was hewed out of the mountain. They say that Stone Mountain is the most unusual stone in the world. That's right. Having Davis, Jackson, and Lee's picture on it, the headstone. Growing a knowledge, a message, growing that nobody can withstand. Nobody can withstand it. There's no need for Brother Branham's followers to try. They can't withstand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nobody can withstand it. It's God. And it grows and it expands and it takes in everybody. And everybody that resists it, the Bible said it grinds them to powder and just keeps rolling on, rolling on. So then all you can do is join it and become a part because it grows bigger, bigger like the sails of your body, bigger and bigger until it filled all the earth. You understand what I'm saying? So then it means that Brother Branham was right. It has come. The followers are going to miss it because the kingdom, the Bible said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They said, where is it at? He said, you can't see it. You're looking for it the wrong way. Is that right? My kingdom's not of this world. Is that right? He said, men are pressing their way into it. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? But said, the kingdom of God be preached. It's a message. It's a spirit. It's a word. It's a power. It's a world. It's an environment. It's a dimension. A translation into it by faith. You understand what I'm saying? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Did his kingdom come? His kingdom come at Calvary. But they never did comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width. But when Paul got the revelation, he said they'd do it in the end time. He said it's out of season right now, can't speak it. But I show you a mystery. Said we'll conquer death. Didn't he say that? All right, if the church ages is over, then the kingdom has come in. This is the kingdom age coming in now. If it's a kingdom age, the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. Somebody said, well, I don't see it, but I got it. Have already risen up and took the kingdom. The kingdom of God's within you. Rise and take the kingdom. It's faith. And then the Bible said, when the dragon went out, now has come power. Hallelujah. Now has come strength. Now has come the kingdom of our God. Is that right? Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, John was looking back at Revelation. He was looking back at Calvary. Because it was at Calvary that Jesus said, I beheld Satan be cast out of heaven. Isn't that right? Instigated in the mind of God before the world was manifested at Calvary, where John saw it in Revelation, comprehended in the end time, and then it becomes our benefit. There it says of our inheritance. Is that right? He was looking back there, and the kingdom had come when Satan went out. And here we are just now recognizing it over here, because the revelation is just now coming, becoming part of our lives and our minds. So the door is open in heaven, and he said, come up here. Is that right? Who was the man child that was caught up? It was John. Why? Because John got the little book. Isn't that right? John was the one that went through that. That was the man child that went up. That was the church, fourth chapter of Revelation. Is that right? It went up, but it wasn't manifested until the Jews, which had to do with the middle of the week. Now, we can't go into all of that, but sometimes we will. Now, let me say this and try to close. Everything worked perfect. I said, when we get back to Bethlehem, that'll be the new world. Rising up from the dead, caught up to little Bethlehem, calling my son out of Egypt, Brother Charles' resurrection coming over. You follow me? Kennedy coming back to life. How do you understand what I'm saying? I said, that's the new world. And so to make it just right, when we got back here, here come Kim back here, and what did he have? He had the little ship called the Santa Maria. Gave it to me. I set it up down there on the ship. Just exactly right, showing the new world coming in. The Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria. The Maria would be right because that goes back to Mary. Now, so then if the kingdom is here, it means the world has missed it. The world will be eating and drinking and knowing nothing about it until the day that Noah entered into the flood and the rain came and destroyed them all. They never did know anything happen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. Their thoughts were continually evil. And he said, the end of all flesh has come up before me. He said, they didn't know nothing. Didn't know nothing. They were eating and drinking and going on, and hearts were overcharged with serving the cares of life, and the day came upon them unaware, and they didn't even know when it was near at hand. But he said, you're children of light. You'll know when it's near at hand. Not come upon you unaware. Is that right? You'll be ready. The goodman of the house was setting up watching what time the thief come. He couldn't come in. Is that right? So it means that the kingdom age has come around. This is the kingdom age. Come in at Calvary, that's Revelation, but now it's being comprehended, which means it is effective. A law is never effective until there's a knowledge of it. That's right, but when it comes to knowledge of it, there is a faith that comes from it. When the faith comes from it, there's a translation that comes from it. It becomes a spiritual power. And once that happens, you change dimensions. That means, folks, that just like somebody going to school from the first grade to the second grade to the third grade to the fourth grade to the fifth grade, there's something happening. That person in their mind is transforming and transforming and transforming. You can't see it on the outside, except God has allowed the growth as a child on up to a grown person to show it. But the same thing is taking place on the inside. It has to do with a transformation. This thing has been a transformation on the tutors of the fivefold ministry until we come to the bar mitzvah, which is the old Jewish manifestation of the sons. Is that right? The adoption, to wit, the adoption. So then it means that we have last come to sonship. Now, beloved of the sons, but we are coming now to the redemption of the body, which is the manifestation of it. If that is true, that means that terrors and heartaches and sorrows and woes and problems and corruptions and things such as you've never seen in your life is about to befall mankind. The last type is moving in, and what I'm speaking of is not a type. It is the millennium government coming in. When? Just before the tribulation. The angel said, now has come power. It was before the tribulation that he said that. It wasn't after the tribulation he said it. It wasn't in the tribulation he said it. It was before this thing took place. Remember, how do you know what I'm saying? It was before he ever saw the woman on the moon and the child caught up. Is that right? that John's heart was being prepared for the revelation. Is that right? And then when he saw this great thing take place, he said, when the last angel sounded, that was the third woe, three woes. When the last angel sounded, he said, then I saw a great wonder in heaven. Now, how did he see that wonder in heaven? How many of you understand what I'm saying? When the last angel sounded, he said, John, and when the last angel sounds, then you'll understand the mysteries. As quick as the last angel sounded, he said, I see it. The wonder in heaven. And the woman with the feet on the moon. You understand what I'm saying? As it began to happen, then John got excited and the angel said, now has come power. Now has come power. Now has come power. We've always had power since I had the Holy Ghost. But the earnestness of our inheritance and redemption of our body, Satan, the middle wall of petition, broke down, cast out. And there's a lot that we can say about that tonight to show you what we're talking about in the second heaven. But anyway, I'm going to close here in trying to say this, that if Brother Branham was right, then the church ages have neatly passed by. And the millennium government is at last here, and the saints are rising up with this message, and this message is that which will take the kingdom. Nothing will resist it. It will tear down the kingdom of the world as it rolls and grows, and it will be the stone, the mind of Christ, the headstone that will tear down the kingdom of the world, and this will take the kingdom away from the world. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean the revelation of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. The world ain't got that. The world has had a natural type of its intellectual reasoning out there, and through that they've held the kingdom. But now we see the actual kingdom itself. It's in our heart, and the world loses it because this is no more effective. The third dimension is here. That's right. The revelation is the third heaven, and the man child was caught up to the third heaven. You understand what I'm saying? As long as there's a second heaven, that means that Satan can stand between heaven and earth and rule and have power over the first heaven by intercepting the light of the third heaven. But when the man child goes up to the third heaven, on his way up, so to speak, he kicks Satan out of the second heaven, set up the doorpost there, and then they go in and out by the way of the door. Is that right? So then it takes the kingdom. He takes it away from Satan. The days of grace then are over. Brother and sister, when grace is over, that means the blood comes off the mercy seat. If Brother Wilson, having to do with the firstborn, is coming back in that white tent, that tie, that vesture dipped in blood, what does that mean? That means it's going to be a millennium establishment as proof of this millennium government, which is this message. Coming in, Revelation 19, because that's when it comes in. What does that bring on? It brings on the Battle of Armageddon. Is that right? They're going to be a clash. That's right, they're going to be a clash. And let me say this in closing. When that is finished, concerning that of the millennium, then this, which is the revelation, the Ancient of Days. Like my mother saw one time, she saw a vision of me. And she said, I know who you are. She said, you are the Ancient of Days. Now, not that I'm the Ancient of Days, but this revelation is the Ancient of Days. And I'm bone of the bone of the flesh of the Ancient of Days. You understand what I'm saying? That's why God showed it to mother. Now, if you want to fuss about it, go over and fuss with the one that showed it to her. Don't fuss with me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm just telling you what she saw. Now, so that means that when the millennium is over, then the revelation is the Ancient of Days, because the revelation is that which the whole earth flees away from. That means that the revelation transformates everything into spirit. It's the great light, the great knowledge. Nothing remains natural anymore. Everything turns into a revelation. That is the Ancient of Days coming in with the light, where all of the earth and the world fled away. And every antitype, every natural thing was no more natural. There was no more natural minds. There was no more natural bodies. There was no more natural understanding. It was the translation by faith through the mind of the Ancient of Days. How do you understand? Let this mind be in you that was also the Ancient of Days, which was in Christ. What you've made known unto me, Father. Is that right? Make it known unto them. So then the God mind and the God body. Is that right? The many members. That means that we, brother, we are already the celestial. We are already coming into our Ancient of Days celestial world before the tribulation, and the Jews are the one that's going through a natural millennium with natural trees and natural water and a natural restoration of the earth. And you understand what I'm saying? But we are the celestial. We're not terrestrial. We're already in that age after the millennium, which is the celestial, the Ancient of Days. That beautiful city that is like a beautiful glass that's transparent, intermingled with the colors of the rainbow. That's right, a world of celestial beauty and music and glory and splendor and joy and peace. The light of that city coming down, for in it there is no carnal mind, for there's no darkness there. You understand, lively stones built up into a temple. The Lord shall suddenly come into his temple. Where are those stones coming from? Said they come down out of glory. Isn't that right? Them stones come down out of glory to find their way by that revelation of Paul to that cornerstone, that chief cornerstone, to set itself down upon the 12 apostolic foundations of the apostolic church. Is that right? The Spirit being that great river of life. And he said, you are the trees of life, and your leaves are for the healing of the nation. Is that right? A lot we could say about that. But I hope you're spiritual and can understand. God is a spirit. Remember that. Some of you talk about spiritual things, and some of you say, oh, bless God, I'm looking for something natural. But God is a spirit. He only uses natural things to manifest a natural world to your natural eyesight, to educate you by a natural type, to transformate and translate you into a spiritual being. You understand? Natural things are corruptible. Spiritual things are eternal. That's what Paul said. That's why heaven and earth will pass away. The earth will pass away. You say, what do you mean by that? After God restores it in the millennium for a natural Jew to inhabit it, the natural nations, then it'll pass away because it will transformate by that great mind and light into a spiritual earth, into a spiritual city, into a spiritual world. You love the Lord? I'm glad I'm a spiritual person. So then the world is going to miss it. Brother Branham said it passed right through their midst, and they wouldn't see it. The wicked shall not see when good cometh, because it is a spiritual thing. But there's one thing about it, folks. When the sorrows and the heartaches and the terrors that's knocking on the door begins, somebody will say, well, I don't know what took place spiritually, but I sure know these awful heartaches and sorrow. There's something that's taken place, because I see a proof in the eating of the pudding. Natural people don't know nothing until natural things take place. But spiritual people, that's children of light. They see spiritually. Spiritual light. They understand spiritually. They know spiritually before it ever happens naturally. So they get prepared that when the natural takes place, it happens to their advantage. All right. Jesus had hid it from the eyes of the educated, the wise, and the prudent. Made it a revelation. The world of revelation. Unto them that can learn. All right, let's stand together. There is so much more to say, but all I want to do is bring out enough tonight to let you know, by the foolish little things that the world will never see nor accept, where we're living, by the things that are happening, right up to date, right on to time, where the world knows nothing about what we're talking about, nothing at all. Nothing at all. They don't know nothing about the time element, or where time is no more, or where the time is, or where there ain't. They don't know nothing about it, what we're talking about. And when you deal with them out there, you remember they're not spiritual. Talk with them and feed them out of a spoon like a little baby.
They don't know nothing about this world, this dimension, this mind. But remember, Brother Branham has hit it right on the button. Amen. And yet it was the Holy Spirit that said it. And those that took it natural, just like I said, they missed it. All the others that's looking for the kingdom of God natural, they're going to miss it. The Jews look for it natural, they're going to miss it. God's going to be kind and give them a millennium for 1,000 years as a natural age, as a proof to their natural minds that there is a spiritual kingdom somewhere. That's all they understand as a prophet in a natural earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. But in that we've gone up into the third heaven, it means the church has been raptured out. Somebody said, going to be? No, not going to be. The church has already been translated, my brother. Somebody said, wait a minute. No, wait a minute about it. Said, preach the word. And the Bible said, for God hath translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. I am not of this world. He's chosen me out of this world. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. It's been there all the time, but it can't be used until it's preached, and it can't be believed until it's preached. And when the kingdom is preached, you believe it, and there you are. Find yourself there and don't know how you got there. Just because he said it, that made it so. You believed it, and it happened. So then a great thing has taken place, and the world has been left behind. And all of a sudden, it's going to dawn. It's like a government taking over that's worked on the inside, always the inside issue. And then it springs forth and takes over. And it is a true fact that communists has done the same thing. And as I live before God, you watch and see what I'm telling you. There's been a parallel, the same way the kingdom has worked inwardly and took over. Communism has worked within your government and has took over. And just as this is going to be manifested, that's going to be manifested, because they work side by side, and the natural shows the spiritual shows the natural. If one is taking place, another is taking place. And you're going to see a world government. How many of you know that I said that Kissinger would lay the foundation for Antichrist? How many of you know that he made the statement that if America didn't stand upright and receive him, that he was going to join the common market, and made his boast about the cards and the number and everything that would come in from that way? I already said it. You know, I told you, I said, they won't accept him in America. They can't. I said, but the way he'll work, he'll work through that system, and he did. It's got him shook up because Jimmy Carter's coming up. You know why? When the man child went up, the dragon went out. That communistic power got caught off guard. That Chinese red dragon thing, that's the reason quakes is taking place. How many remember I brought out the other day about a tract being translated in China when Mao Zedong died in the earthquake and the dragon went out? Everything happened right on time. You remember that? See, it's right with the revelation, worldwide, locally, nationally, internationally, physically, spiritually, every way. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. And I know that I'm not dynamic like Billy Graham. But one thing is, I'm trying to tell you the truth and trying to tell you what I understand. I'm not a great speaker. I'm one of them foolish and amazed things. But anyway, what we have said, if you put it together in your mind, build on it, try to understand it, brothers and sisters, it is the truth. That means that you're at the end of the way. It means that Brother Branham, the great prophet of God, came, made his predictions. They've fallen right in line. The same Holy Spirit that spoke through him speaks through me, speaks through you, line upon line, precept upon precept, just like Gad, a little here and a little there. Don't contradict. The war is not between Brother Branham's message and the following minister's message, which is Christ and Christ, or Christ equal Christ. But it's between the followers of John Wesley and the followers of Martin Luther. You know why? Because the followers of Luther could never be Wesleyans. You say, why is that? Because they're Lutherans. You understand what I'm saying? A leopard could never be an elephant because it's a leopard. So you can't change it. God has a potion for every age. They are judged according to their knowledge, according to their conviction, according to their enlightenment. But if you stay back there and you got more light, you're in trouble. Now, they can make that all right. But you can't. If you belong to the new, you belong to the new. and you got to move with the new, because you're going to be judged by the new. Now, you can be here with us and not be of us. See, you say, how could that be, Brother Pike? You not understand this. If you don't understand it and you don't see it, it means that you're not in that dimension. Now, you can be part of the body of the Lord Jesus, and he'll love you, but it means you're not in that advanced part. See, there's dimensional parts, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If you're the 30-fold, just be glad and thank God for it. If you're 60-fold, if you see it that much, thank God for it. But if you can see the 100-fold, then accept the 100-fold, because there's a lot to be said about the 100-fold. You say, why is that? First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Dimensions. How many of you know it's the same way with hell? And he that does such and such shall receive the greater damnation. So if it's the first, second, and third heaven, there's also greater damnation that way too. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you, and I appreciate you. I really do, from my heart. The things that I say and have said are so foolish to the natural ear. But it's one thing about it. You know, when the devil tries to make you disbelieve it, just go somewhere and say, well, Lord, where on earth did that man get all these things down through the years? Where on earth did he get enough to write a dictionary? Where did he get it? And you'll hear a little voice say, he didn't get it on earth. He got it in heaven. It's revelation. So let's sing a little chorus together. We'll give the glory to Jesus, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. This is why I teach my ladies to wear long dresses. This is 100-fold, folks. Mini skirt, 30, midi, 60, maxi, 100-fold. This is the full covering of the Shekinah. Our ladies represent it. It's God's great move in the earth. The finishing the last is better than the first, Solomon said. That's why that I tell them to do what I do, because that's what I understand. Can you sing that one more time? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love.